Sections of art and activism. I'm Stéphane Christophe in Montreal. On the program this week, I'm going to be featuring a conversation that I recorded in Sofia, Bulgaria, with Svetan, who works on an amazing project called Alarma Punk Jazz. This is a community concert series that has effectively brought artists from all over the world who are working at the intersections of the social questions of our time, activism, and the arts, and they're brought to Bulgaria and to interact with the Bulgarian context, which is not always an obvious place to bring a music tour to. So it was really cool to speak with Svetan about the work that he does. Alarma Punk Jazz is a concert series, but also Svetan hosts a regular radio program on the Bulgarian National Radio where he features experimental sound art and music. That's called Alarma. So we recorded a conversation when I was playing in Bulgaria this past fall in 2023, and I'm happy to share this interview in 2024 here as part of the Art in Action interview series. Here it is.
So we're sitting in Sofia in Bulgaria. And Svetan, you've been so involved in trying to create an independent cultural scene in Sofia. It's not easy work, but I think maybe first we could just start if you could introduce yourself and just tell us what is Alarma Punk Jazz, because it's both a radio show and then you organize a lot of cultural events.
Actually, not a local guy. I'm from the northern Bulgaria. I ended up in Sofia when I was a student, 18 years old, and probably it was the wrong decision. But I don't know. The presence of the radio is something that we could start from, because when I was 15, in my hometown called Montana. It's very funny because actually it had a kind of a socialist name and they wanted to change it, and then they remembered during the Roman times there was a fortress called Montanesium, so they decided to be Montana, and it sounds kind of Montana from the other side of the Atlantic. They always joke. But anyway, when I was 15, I was supposed to receive a fee for an article that I wrote for a local newspaper. And I went to the building where the newspaper had its offices, and I dialed a number because, you know, these old telephones at the entrance, you have a police security and you press probably three digits or four, and it happened to call the wrong number. And they asked me, who are you? Because in the same building there was a television and a radio. Ah. And they asked me, who are you? And I said, nobody. Could you come on the first floor, for example, for that? I don't remember the floor. You have the same voice like our Saturday host for the youth radio show, the evening show. And would you like to take his position? Because he went to the army, so we had a kind of... before 2004, the army service was obligatory. Yeah, and until this time, I mean, before this thing that I'm telling you, before this story, with the wrong telephone number, I was actually more into silence and reading books and a kind of autistic way of communication with the people. I was not very communicative. And the next week I was hosting a radio show. And
that was on Bulgarian National Radio?
No. It was the local radio station. On a very... during the 90s, the local radio stations in this country, they were on a very high level. Oh. And then, unfortunately, not anymore. But anyway, when I moved to Sofia, I had a similar. I interrupted my radio activities because I was a student in book publishing and I had another, let's say, priorities and whatever. But when I was a kind of unemployed young boy at the age of 21. After a disease, because I lost my hearing nerve from the left side because of a flu. It was just a flu. Wow. And I even didn't think about radio. It was not something that I was thinking about. But I was searching for a job and somebody called and he said, would you like to have a radio show on the? It was not a show, but something shorter on the national radio, because they offered it to me, and I'm so busy. And I remember that you hosted a radio show before, and you know it was 22 years ago. And when I entered the national radio, I even didn't know that I will stay in such a long, let's say. Half life, I mean.
So lifetime. The radio show has become also a project through which you share culture in this city.
Yeah.
Just for people who are listening, can you just tell us what is the program that you host?
It's kind of daily radio show, but it's not only me. It's called Alarma, only Alarma, like Alarm. And Alarma Punk Jazz is kind of my personal Frankenstein. And it was born in the same year, 2008.
And Alarma Punk Jazz is the organization through which you host cultural events in the city.
Cultural, and not only cultural. I mean, we were involved in some protests against these detention centers from here in Sofia even 10 years ago.
Okay.
And
detention centers for migrants.
Yeah. And the conditions that were how they treat the people there. And so anyway, the Alarma is the alarm is something that is ringing and saying that something is not right.
Yes.
Especially in the cultural field, I never felt comfortable in this country from musical point of view. I mean, we have a great traditions of translating. We have a great traditions of translating high quality literature. We have a good film festival. Really high quality. But in terms of everyday music life, we have traditions in classical music and probably nothing else. I mean, nothing more avant-garde, nothing more freaky, nothing more between the genres, nothing... I was feeling, in a big emptiness in the early 2000s, for example. I remember I was traveling so often to Skopje or Belgrade or Novi Sad to see people like even Ornette Coleman or Gang of Four or
sure.
people that I grew up, with their music.
Sure.
It was not possible in Bulgaria.
Okay.
So that's why I started to organize concerts.
Wow.
I didn't decide it. It happened again, chaotically. And 2 months later, I realized I should do something out of it. Because otherwise, why I started.
Wow. And now today, you still host regular events here in Bulgaria.
This year, I hosted something like 47 concerts, and I have 10 more. And when I look back, I think it's
intense.
It's less to say intense. I mean, it's a suicide in a way to organize a concert of somebody that you like every 5 days. Every week, I said 57, it's obviously more than once per week for this year. And I mean, generally, the healthy, situation is to organize 25, 30 events per year. because, you know, it's not a job. It's a kind of something that I believe in. Mm-hmm. But in the same time, I should, let's say, live and work in my own slavery, because I sold myself to some banks. I mean, just to have the opportunities to organize these things, because I don't like, for example, being sponsored by the radio, because the radio is still a kind of cultural institution and they're doing their great job. But in terms of, let's say, music that they don't understand, do you know how do they call the music of Mats Gustafsson, the music of Stefan Christoff, the music of Tammy Crest, and the music of whatever else, something different from these three examples. They said, oh, it's Cvetan's music. And I still work in the system, and I use the radio as a tool to reach some people in the small towns. When you are somewhere in a small border village and you are interested in something something different, yeah, and you switch the radio and you hear something happening in this moment, not a recording, somebody is playing live. It's a magic.
It is magic, yeah, that's true. And I feel also, right, like, the space that independent culture makes in the events, right? Uh-huh. People will share ideas. Like tonight, you know, I here at this concert, people might talk about right now the Israeli government's bombing Palestinians in Gaza. People were discussing. You mentioned that Alarma Punk Jazz also participated in protests for migrant justice. Bulgaria is at the very end of Europe. It's right at the edge. So that's been a huge issue here. And so maybe, like, people listening to this in, you know, Canada or North America...
It opens a discussion.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask you about, is the opening of the discussion, because I feel like people might not get the same... They don't have the same context, right? And how delicate it is to even have a space to talk about these issues. It's not simple. To create that space. And can you talk a bit more about how that's part of your process of organizing concerts and cultural events?
I'm not sure if you will believe me, but I feel it's so natural that I could not see from the perspective, probably I should do it, but I could not see the perspective of somebody that thinks it's something... let's say, not so common. Mm-hmm. I mean, what else to do instead of talking about the world today, mm-hmm. and through discussions or through musical concerts? Yeah. For example, the concert that Tammy Crest played yesterday, and when you joined them for the encore with the piano, and, you know, they are open for many collaborations. They have Japanese musicians and Ainu musicians from Japan in some of their songs. And but they probably never met somebody playing a piano on a song invented in the desert, where it's very difficult to bring a piano. And... okay, I'll give an example. And at the end of the day, this person on the piano, he's a social activist. It's not only a pianist. So could you explain this to an audience that is not open to believe it? Somebody will say, it's a science fiction. What are you talking about? A band from the desert having a piano. But the pianist is not only pianist. So it's so natural for me. It's extremely natural.
Respect. But for people listening who aren't familiar with Bulgaria.
Uh-huh, yeah, you mean...
Yeah, can you talk a bit about, like, you know, like in Canada, for example, there's a lot of funding for arts, right? Like it's you know, there's a lot of like cultural institutions that try to support public arts, right? And here it's a very different situation, right? And so I think it's also always important for people to appreciate like the work it takes in a context where there's so little support, right? And you rely a lot on community. I know that I see at your shows, like, you have a whole network of, like, activists and people interested in the arts that are part of your sort of orbit.
Again, I believe in this natural communication. Actually, I worked a couple of times as a part of, let's say... jury and different commissions for how to say it in English,
the Bulgarian governmental cultural institutions,
the Ministry of Culture. So I was the evaluator of the jury of some applications for 50,000 euro, for 70,000 euro. I mean, this they were applying for that kind of funding, and I mean, the Ministry of Culture, actually, it's not a kind of a poor institution, so they have many programs for developing in art and so on, and in some fields it works, but I never saw it working in the musical field outside of folklore and classical music. So I have a great respect to both to classical music and the folklore, but a part of it seems that doesn't exist. I mean, even the avant-garde jazz doesn't exist.
But what's interesting, you know, and having traveled to a bunch of different places now, I feel lucky about that. Often at those events where you have avant-garde music, you also find people who are involved in social causes.
Again, I think it's so natural. Mm. When you are open to something that you could not explain, you feel it, and you feel that the person who are talking to has... probably not the same, but a kind of similar way of understanding, and you see it or you hear it in some sentences, or you see it in the eyes of the person. So it's it makes my day a bit more optimistic. Yeah, but I mean, it's not something extraordinary. I still think it's not something extraordinary. Probably I don't consider myself an optimist, and now I talk
as an optimist.
Yeah, I'm not, but in the same time, I think the natural understanding of the links between the fields and the ways of understanding the world.
Yeah.
Music is just music. Music is just one of the the tools to do it. I mean,
okay, yeah. That's true. Thank you so much for explaining that and sharing your thoughts on that. So for people to also know, Alarma is this experimental music show on Bulgarian national radio.
It's actually a show, not only a musical one. We have a lot of literature, a lot of contemporary dance, and we cover different, let's say, festivals, events. We are five people. It's not only me. I'm kind of the engine, but we are not exactly a crew, but let's say a collective of people who offer their ideas for contemporary city cultural life, which is something different than the lifestyle magazines that are still ruling. I mean, Bulgaria is still in the third world in terms of how the media talk about cultural events. They still pretend that they are lifestyle magazines when they talk about serious literature. So this is something that I don't appreciate. That's why we try. We do it in the. I wanted to say different way. It's not different way. In the way we feel that we have to do it. And Alarma It's not the name Alarma is not my invention. It happened one of the other members of the our collective proposed it. My first proposition was the flight of the mole.
Nice.
Something connected to the underground, but what is underground? It could be underground somewhere and on the other side of the globe to be something very fancy. And
that's true. Wow. Can you describe where we are?
We are in front of the National Palace of Culture, which is kind of a huge labyrinth. It's a big building, like a new UFO, and inside it's a huge labyrinth, and it's an interesting example because it was commissioned by the daughter of our long-term dictator Todor Živkov, and she was a minister of culture, but she was an amazing lady. It was named after her, People's Palace of Culture, Ludmila Živkova. And then when the regime fell, they changed the name to the National Palace of Culture. So where are the people? And now it's a kind of just a trademark. So they still have the great concert halls and conference halls and exhibition halls and this labyrinth inside. Well, some of the film festival have screenings here. Jet Rotel played here and so on. But as an institution, they don't support the culture very much. We were in a club that pay a big rent to be here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I pay to the club to pay to the sound engineer, and the club pays to the so-called state institution to have the space.
And so this is in downtown Sofia, and like all these complex negotiations to try to find space here in Bulgaria to do shows. It's not simple. It's always good for people to sort of appreciate the effort and logistics and heartfelt energy that goes into making cultural events happen, especially in a context like Bulgaria. Also, for people listening, like, so we're downtown. I know that when I walked here today, there is a really big mountain over there.
Yeah, too. It's Vitusha. Vitusha is the mountain next to Sofia. Tomorrow we will go to Skopje, and they have the same mountain. But I don't know the history of the Macedonian one, but the Bulgarian one, it was a volcano before the humans came here. It's and it's still the kind of lung of the city. I mean, you could go to take some fresh air. It's only 10 kilometers from the downtown.
Wow. And yeah, well, thank you so much, Svetan, for talking and to share your ideas here on this October evening in Sofia.
Is it October?
It is, I think. Yeah. Yes, it is. October 23.
I feel it like real October. Because yesterday it was summer.
Yesterday was
warm. And now you could hear my throat is starving.
Oh.
Because usually I'm rounding Sofia, for example, with some guitar stands in my hands and some other stuff, some cables, only in a t-shirt and sandals. And sometimes I stop and I realize it's not summer anymore. You know, the cultural workers of... I mean, I try to... What I didn't mention, it's very typical for the Bulgarian people to complain. I also complain. Mm. I love to complain. We have what to complain from. But I try to keep it DIY. So I complain that the radio is not investing a lot in what I do. But in the same time, I'm happy to be part of the institution and to be DIY in the same time. So it gives you a kind of, let's say, another perspective how the things should happen.
Respect.
And when you invest your own, let's say, powers and health and time, you feel it like it's more, your thing. It's not something granted by a kind of ministry that you should formally do it. So,
and I also notice how open you are for people to be involved, and like, that's really cool. Yeah,
I mean, it's just a kind of something that I believe in. Whatever you do, if you don't take it, if you don't invest some of your own blood in it, I don't purely believe that the thing is real. I mean,
I see what you're saying.
There should be some pain. I don't like the pain, but I understand why it's part of the whole story.
Respect.
That was a conversation with Svetan, recorded for the Art in Action interview series, which is a series of conversations that explore people doing work at the intersections of art and activism, doing work that highlight artists engaged with the social issues of our time, both in Montreal, Jiajiagi, where I live, but also in cities around the world. So thank you to Svetan from Sofia, Bulgaria, who works on the project Alarma Punk Jazz, for being part of this conversation. I feature an interview every month that airs on Radio Hara at 4:30 p.m. on the first Friday of each month in Palestine at RadioHara.net, and I also share this interview on the third Friday of each month at 11 a.m. on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and on the second Tuesday of each month on CJLO 1690 AM at 1:30 p.m. also in Montreal. You can find our archives at SoundCloud.com/FreeCityRadio. I'm Stefan Christoph, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Atemzug. Tarte, vous écoutez CKUT 90.3 FM à Montréal.
Allô à toutes avec un crisse de gros E à cause que c'est toujours bien la base d'essayer d'inclure tout le monde. Pour celles qui nous écoutent pour la première fois, tout ou pantoute, c'est comme la conversation qu'on aurait aimé avoir en se préparant pour sortir au bar avec ses autres amis mineurs au secondaire, mais sans le monde qui se regarde dans le miroir en se trouvant laid.
Ah, oh, ça aurait été tellement cool. Aujourd'hui, on commence notre bloc de 2 épisodes sur les normes et les biais sociaux. On parle de discrimination liée aux normes de minceur dans une entrevue avec l'humoriste Coco Béliveau. Puis, après l'entrevue, on va essayer de décortiquer certaines des façons dont la discrimination liée au corps se construit puis s'alimente, puis notre part de responsabilité là-dedans. Puis, on va parler de représentation positive puis négative en lien avec l'apparence physique puis le poids. Puis, aujourd'hui, on a la chance d'avoir avec nous à l'animation notre collaboratrice Émilie Duchesne qui va participer au débriefing avec nous après l'entrevue. Émilie s'occupe de la transcription de tous nos épisodes cette saison-ci. Puis elle a vraiment plein de réflexions par rapport au sujet de l'épisode. Fait qu'on s'est dit, ah ouais, viens jouer avec nous. Allô, Émilie.
Allô, merci de me recevoir. Je suis contente d'être là.
Yay!
Puis on va conclure avec une participation spéciale mais récurrente de tout ou pas tout revisitée à la fin de l'épisode. Une collaboration qui nous fait triper bien raide puis qui va vous faire regretter. Ah oui, 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 grandement regretter d'avoir fait stop avant la fin si jamais c'est votre genre.
On va commencer cet épisode-là à la vitesse où on pogne les nerfs quand quelqu'un nous félicite d'avoir perdu du poids. Ici Alexandra Turgeon
et Laurie Perron.
Vous écoutez
tout ou pas tout.